Sometimes we use phrases like sinfully delightful or wickedly fun to describe our enjoyment. But Skip Heitzig reminds us that Satan isn't the one who came up with the idea of having a good time.
God does not see sex as merely functional or procreational for the propagation only of the human race, but to be enjoyed within marriage, not as a duty, but as a joy. And when marriage is what God intended it to be, it becomes rapturous. C.S. Lewis, and I love what he said. He said, pleasure is God's invention, not the devil's. God invented this stuff.
Make the connection.
Ever indulged in a guilty pleasure? You know, a time when you had that dessert you really didn't need, or when you bought something really expensive just for the fun of it. A lot of people feel that way about sex, that it's a guilty pleasure. But did you know that God wants us to enjoy sex without the guilt? The catch is, we're going to enjoy it within His parameters. When you think about it, isn't enjoying something guilt-free a whole lot more pleasurable anyway? Well, Skip Heitzig shows us what the Bible says about sex today here on The Connection. But first, with Christmas Eve just 10 days away, I thought you might like a few last-minute gift ideas.
What do your kids hope to find under the Christmas tree? Video games? Movies? Music? The various forms of media are perennial favorites at Christmas time, but their popularity should raise some questions. What sort of impact is the current vampire craze having on kids? Is it really just innocent fun to play as a sorcerer in an online video game? How is the flood of sexual images in everything from TV to music affecting young, impressionable lives? Shattered explores these vital issues and what you need to know to protect your kids. Hosted by Skip Heitzig and featuring a wide array of experts, Shattered is a look at the dark side of today's media. Get your copy today for just $15 when you call 1-800-922-1888. Plus, when you order, we'll also include a free copy of Skip's booklet, Cosmic Conflict. Order the documentary Shattered for just $15. Call 1-800-922-1888 or see all of the other gifts with meaning available from The Connection when you visit connectionradio.org.
There's still time to get some great gifts at special prices for Christmas, so check out what's available today at connectionradio.org. Skip Heitzig shares with us the true intimacy, passion, and pleasure that can be found when sex is governed by God's rules, and why when we don't follow them, how something special can become something very destructive. Stay tuned.
And make the connection.
We continue our study in Proverbs chapter 5 today, so open your Bibles and let's join Skip Heitzig.
And this is where our context really comes in. Husbands and wives should enjoy each other sexually. Notice Solomon is very, very open and frank about this. Verse 19, as a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breasts satisfy you at all times, and always be enraptured with her love. The word satisfy, and I'm going to get into this, in the Hebrew is a word that means to be satiated, saturated, or to have one's full, as in being filled in drink. And then the word enraptured in that verse means literally to swerve, meander, to roll, reel, or to be intoxicated with. It was a word that was used to describe the reeling of a drunken man. Be intoxicated with her love. Think about that. If you think God is a prude man, think again. The way He describes love and sex and marriage. God does not see sex as merely functional or procreational for the propagation only of the human race, but to be enjoyed within marriage, not as a duty, but but as a joy. And when marriage is what God intended it to be, it becomes rapturous. C.S. Lewis, and I love what he said. He said, pleasure is God's invention, not the devil's. God invented this stuff. And Solomon talks about it with great detail. In the beginning, when God created husband and wife, brought them together in the garden, Adam and Eve, it says God brought the woman to the man, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. They were not ashamed. There they were. Absolutely vulnerable, totally naked in each other's presence, not blushing, not ashamed. You don't have to be ashamed either when in the proper context you enjoy your spouse, not ashamed at all. It is only when sin entered that relationship in the garden that embarrassment and shame and cover-up became the norm rather than open vulnerability. Now, when I think about that verse, however, I have to quickly think about my own honeymoon. And I think you can relate. It's not easy. It's embarrassing. I mean, here you've dated this girl and you've prayed together and you've talked about serving God together and then you're married. And our first night was spent in Ventura, California. We took our honeymoon up the coast where we lived. And Lenny, we didn't have any money. Lenny's grandfather said, hey, don't worry, I'll take care of the hotel arrangements. And he gave us a honeymoon suite in a hotel in Ventura. I thought, oh, all right. So we check into the hotel. The guy gives us the key to the honeymoon suite. We walk up, and it was like the grossest thing I've ever experienced. Pink carpet. Red and pink velvet wallpaper. Little cherubs, lamps, naked cherub lamps all over the place. Mirrored ceilings. And I walk in there and go, oh, I'm going to call the guy and change the room. And I did. I said, can we have a different room? And he said, it's pretty gross, isn't it? He said, you got to live with it. All the rooms are booked up tonight. You have to stay there. Oh, thanks a lot. But now listen to Hebrews 13, verse 4. Marriage is honorable, and the bed is undefiled. That doesn't mean you have to change your sheets every week. The whole idea of the bed undefiled is the bed of sex. Marriage is honorable, and the bed is undefiled. It's a sacred experience by God. The Greek word for bed, you'd be interested to know, is the word koite. Where we get the word coitus, the act of sexual intercourse. In the Greek, it literally means cohabitation by the implanting of the male sperm. Now, we've heard a lot about abuse last week, sex out of marriage. But don't get the idea that God condemns it. He doesn't. He condones it in the right place. What God condemns is the fire burning out of the fireplace. That's the example we used last time. Fire in the fireplace is great. Out of the fireplace, it's condemned. But listen, when fire's in the fireplace, let it burn, man, and burn hot. Drink water from your own cistern, man. It's very graphic. Enjoy it. It's God-given. Now, Solomon wrote another book. He wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, but he also wrote another book that many people are afraid to read, the Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon is a pattern of young lovers, a couple who gets married and enjoys one another. It's a story of the king who marries a beautiful young girl from the north. She's a farm girl, a vineyard girl, and they get married and they enjoy one another. It's the pattern of married life as God intended. Let me read a portion of it to you from the Living Bible, the Song of Solomon in chapter 5. The wife here is looking upon her husband's body and she says, my beloved one is tanned and handsome, better than 10,000 others. His head is purest gold. He has wavy raven's hair. His eyes are like doves beside the water brooks, deep and quiet. His cheeks are like sweetly scented beds of spices. His lips are perfumed lilies. His breath like myrrh. His arms are round bars of gold set with topaz. His body is bright ivory encrusted with jewels. His legs are as pillars of marble set in sockets of finest gold like cedars of Lebanon. None can rival him. His mouth is altogether sweet, lovable in every way. Now in chapter 7, he responds, and he sees his wife. And Solomon says, "How beautiful your tripping feet, O queenly maiden. Your rounded thighs are like jewels, the work of the most skilled craftsman. Your navel is as lovely as a goblet filled with wine. Your waist is like a heap of wheat set about with lilies. Your two breasts are like two fawns. Yes, lovely twins. You are tall and slim like a palm tree. Your breasts are like its clusters of dates. I said, I will climb up into the palm tree and take hold of its branches. Now may your breasts be like grape clusters, the scent of your breath like apples, your kisses as exciting as the best of wine, smooth and sweet, causing the lips of those who are asleep to speak." This is in the Bible. Husbands and wives, do you ever talk that way to your spouse? Who knows what might happen if you did? Just remember, if you do, it's in the Bible. It's okay. See, God made your body, including the sexual parts. God designed you to be stimulated. It's not, well, this is a good part of your body, and that's an evil part of your body. It's all good. All of it's good. When God created man and woman upon the earth, he looked at his creation, and what did he say? He said, "It is very good." If God said, incidentally, before the fall, that's his original design, "It is very good," what right do we have to say, "It's bad," or "It's just a duty"? No, it's very good, as attested by Solomon and his bride. And I think of the words that God told to Peter in the book of Acts, when he said he wouldn't eat that non-kosher food that was let down on a sheet. God said, "What God has cleansed, let no man call common or unclean." And if God has given sex to mankind for enjoyment within the parameters of marriage, by all means, don't call it evil. Don't call it common. Call it good and enjoy it. So the sexual urge given by God, but also must be guided by God. Now let's conclude with the path, shall we? The path of sexual purity. We've already seen part of it. The first thing for sexual purity when you're married is have a love affair with your wife or your husband continually. That one man, one woman relationship, that enjoying of all of the aspects of one's personality, but I would say there's a couple of more safeguards to keep you safe from an affair. Number one, don't give yourself the opportunity. Don't give yourself the opportunity. Look at verse 7. "Therefore, hear me now, my children. Do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her," her being the seductress, the immoral woman. And notice this. "Do not go near the door of her house." See how that's put? He didn't say, don't walk in the door. Don't go up to the door. He said, don't even go near it. Don't even get close to it. In other words, go out of your way to avoid it, is the intention here. So be careful not to go near the door of pornography. Don't even get close to the door of certain movies that would depict it as okay. Be careful with becoming too friendly with certain people that you could be attracted to. And men, be careful with your eyes especially. For Jesus said this in Matthew 5, "You have heard that it was said, by those of old, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you, whoever looks at another woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Now, as you know, the word for look is not the inadvertent glance, it's the steady, continuous gaze. It's the looking with the intention of lusting. Don't even get close enough to look. Stay away from the path, the opportunity. It's a pity that people think these experts like Dr. Ruth have so much insight. Wow, new, insightful. Wow, she's awesome. And she says, fantasies are okay. In fact, she says, you ought to have a few fantasies. As long as you have fantasies, it's okay. You're not really hurting anybody. Because she says, it's only in the mind.
And if it's only in some mind, it's okay.
Let me tell you something. The battle is won or lost in the mind. It's the battleground. If you mentally undress someone or imagine being with that person sexually and you fuel that imagination with pornography and certain other stimuli, it can eventually become a reality. It often does. Studies show that. I've talked to people who have said that. The mind is very important. Case in point, once again, David. Staying home from the battle, walking out one night, checking things out. And there's a woman across the valley on her rooftop bathing. He couldn't help the first look. She's there. But that double take he could have helped. It's not like, oh, I'm turning away. It's like, And his mind started playing with it. And he started imagining and he called for her. And they had sex together. Interesting. He was a warrior, a great warrior. Very successful, very popular. In fact, some think he was around 39 or 40 years of age. Just the time when many men are kind of reevaluating their lives. They're kind of unhappy with the goals that they have or haven't reached. And they're very vulnerable. They wonder, I wonder if I still have the stuff. I wonder if I still have the appeal. And they begin testing in areas that they shouldn't be testing. They're very vulnerable for a new fling. So avoid the path and avoid relationships that tempt you. You know, some people that you meet attract you more than others. And you know who they are when you meet them. You feel something. So watch it. Stay away. Secondly, live under the accountability of God. Look at verse 21. We'll close with this verse. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all of his paths. That's where purity begins, a commitment to God. It does not begin with an agreement with your spouse, though it includes that. It does not begin with an agreement you make with yourself, though it includes that. It begins with living under the all-seeing eye of God. Purity begins with the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. And if you're the kind of a person who realizes wherever you go, whatever you see, whatever you do, God is watching and pondering, it can make all the difference. That's where purity really begins. Carpenters, when they build homes, learn quickly how to drive nails into the wood. They hammer hundreds of them a day, and they learn this all-important truth that whatever you look at, you hit. So you always look at the head of the nail, not the thumb holding the nail. You know, well, I'll just look at my thumb so I won't hit it. No, you will hit it. Whatever you look at, you'll hit. Jesus Christ is the head of the nail in life. If we're always looking to him, always considering him in all our relationships, and we're pressing forward, as Paul the Apostle put it, makes all the difference. So purity begins by pleasing God, saying, I'm God's property. This is God's temple. He lives within me. I've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. I live differently. When modern man speaks of the act of sexual intercourse, they either call it making love or simply having sex. You know, the Bible uses a different word altogether. The word no. K-N-O-W, not N-O. K-N-O-W. It says, and Adam knew his wife. Doesn't mean they were just acquainted. It's the biblical term for intimate sexual intercourse. But why does the Bible use the term no instead of just having sex? Because sex, according to the Bible, is not an act but a relationship that includes an act. It is very beautiful in its context. It is delightful. And husbands and wives should let it burn passionately, enjoy one another. But outside of marriage, it can and will destroy, as you've heard the tape this morning, and as so many have attested to. I want to conclude with a prayer. It's a prayer that was written, but I think it reflects a great deal of truth by Harry Hollis Jr., who said, Lord, it is difficult to know what sex really is. Is it some demon sent to torment me, or some delicious seducer from reality? It is neither of these, Lord. I know what sex is. It is body and spirit. It is passion and tenderness. It is strong embraces and gentle handholding. It is open nakedness and hidden mystery. It is joyful tears on a honeymooner's face. It is tears on a wrinkled face on a golden wedding anniversary. Sex is a quiet look across a room, a love note on a pillow, a rose lying on a breakfast plate, laughter in the night. Sex is life, not all of life, but wrapped up in the meaning of life. Sex is your good gift, O God, to enrich life, to continue the race, to communicate, to show me who I am, to reveal my mate, to cleanse through one flesh. Lord, some people say that sex and religion do not mix, but your word says that sex is good. Help me to keep it good in my life. Help me to be open about sex and still protect its mystery. Help me to see that sex is neither demon nor deity. Help me not to climb into a fantasy world with an imaginary sexual partner. Help me in the real world to love the people whom you have created. Teach me that my soul does not have to frown at sex for me to be a Christian. It is hard for many people to say, thank God for sex, because for them, sex is more of a problem than a gift. They need to know that sex and gospel can be linked together again. They need to hear the good news about sex. Show me how I can help them. Thank you, Lord, for making me a sexual being. Thank you for showing me how to treat others with trust and love. Thank you for letting me talk to you about sex. Thank you that I feel free to say, thank God for sex. It goes without saying, without it, none of us would be here. But it must be kept where God wants it to be kept, and it will be a stream of water that delights. But dare to take it out of God's parameters. Dare to say, well, God, you're old-fashioned, and I'm hep, and I'm going to do it my way. And you will be drinking polluted water from a sewer, and you will incur much pain. God gives these parameters because he loves you.
God doesn't want to lessen our enjoyment of sex. He wants to heighten it. But that only happens when we follow his rules. And I hope the information we've covered has shown you that God isn't prudish about sex, but that he truly has our best interest and our enjoyment in mind when he warns us not to stray beyond his parameters. And that's all the time we have for today. But before we leave, if you're still looking for that perfect Christmas gift, perhaps these suggestions can help.
In 1965, television history was made when Linus, in response to Charlie Brown's question of what is Christmas all about, quoted the Bible.
For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord.
The story of Jesus' birth is one of the most well-known Bible stories, but there's a lot more to discover in God's Word. This Christmas, take your kids on a fun-filled journey to discover what's in the Bible. A new show from VeggieTales creator Phil Fisher. In Volume 1, In the Beginning, your kids will learn where the Bible came from and how it was put together. They'll also learn about the beginning of God's plan of salvation, a plan that included the birth of Jesus.
That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
What's in the Bible, a new series from Phil Fisher, makes it fun for the whole family to learn about the Bible. Get your copy of the first volume, In the Beginning, on DVD for just $12 when you call 1-800-922-1888. Find Christmas gifts with meaning from The Connection. Call 1-800-922-1888.
And you can still browse through all of our special holiday offers when you visit connectionradio.org. So do so today before it's too late and Christmas is over. And if you found this study helpful or think it would be helpful for someone you know, you can order a copy of it at connectionradio.org or when you call us at 1-800-922-1888. Each individual teaching is just $6. And of course, anything extra you can share would be a big help to the continued ministry of The Connection, especially as we approach the end of the year. You know, your support is so vital to us as we end one year and begin another. So whether you can share a one-time gift or become a monthly supporter of the ministry, pray about supporting The Connection. Just call 1-800-922-1888 or find out more at connectionradio.org. And if you'd like to review the material Skip has shared today or would like to share it with someone you know, be sure to contact us today. Visit connectionradio.org or call us toll-free at 1-800-922-1888. 1888. You can also write The Connection. Here's our address, P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection.
Next time here on The Connection, we'll continue our series on intimacy and a message titled, When Sex Becomes a Problem. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.